On the cover, panicked families, joggers, picnickers, and frisbee golfers are shown fleeing from an otherwise serene-looking city park on a sunny afternoon. In the center of the page, Mighty Briar is crouched in the grass with her arms around two cats wearing sweaters, using his body to shield them while Shatter summons a glittering suit of armor. KT floats between them, looking curiously up at the sky. Dominating the top third of the page is the source of the chaos, where a much larger-than-life head of a supervillain floats in the clouds. He laughs maniacally while bolts of lightning radiate from the translucent dome protecting his exposed brain. Wonderworld Comics proudly presents Unlikely Encounters Volume 8, The World's Most Dastardly Mind. So our comic opens on Ryan, and Ryan, you've just arrived at Centennial Park, which is kind of one of the bigger parks in the burb, kind of like on the southwest corner. But yeah, it's like a big open grassy park with like lots of hills and a little creek running through it, and like big trees, lots of shade. There's a frisbee golf course running through it, and it's a nice sunny Sunday afternoon, and your friend Lilith invited you to come check out this really cool craft fair that's being held in Centennial Park. And just as you were leaving the house, Uncle Patrick asked if you could bring Marshlin with you on her little harness for like a walk to take her out. She's like gotten pretty used to it now, but does really like, you know, going out and be able to explore on her lead and stuff.
I guess I can't play frisbee golf then. Just trying to decide if Ryan should be on skates.
The eternal question.
Yeah, I kind of think she's better on skates than on foot. So I think she's on her skates. I think Marsha P. Johnson is like at the very extent of her lead, like kind of dragging Ryan along. Like, we're off. Mm-hmm. We're going on an adventure. And Ryan is like, no, wait, I want to like, you know, pause and see if I can see Lilith before we go in the markets. And Marsha's just like, nah, we're off.
It is go time.
Yeah. Ryan's wearing probably just a like sports bra and like booty shorts with all of her protective gear on, obviously helmet, elbow pads, knee pads, wrist guards. And I think Marsha's harness is like fluoro yellow or something. It's one of those ones that like, you know, you can walk your cat at night and they'll be visible kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Only the best for Miss Johnson. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Where do Lilith, where do Ryan and Marsha P. Johnson find you?
Lilith would probably just be wandering around. I don't think she's been at the craft very, very long and wouldn't have gone in like very deep if she's waiting for friends to show up. But Lilith makes the money that she lives on by selling glass trinkets, odds and ends, knickknacks, and such, mostly through an online shop. I know we saw her with like a little unauthorized booth in her first on-page appearance, but I think she's looking to like expand maybe the craft market options for her little glass business. So I think she's kind of here to scope out the scene and kind of see like what works, what doesn't, get some ideas.
Awesome. Cool. And what do you look like today?
I think she's got her hair is just down straight, pretty normal, but she's wearing a dress with little ghosts on it. I think it's not anywhere near Halloween. This is just how she is.
And we love her for it. What do you say as you see, when you see Ryan being pulled along by Uncle Patrick's adorable cat?
Yeah, I think, does it look like Ryan has a lot of control over direction or...
She's like semi-controlled, but in the way of it's like, he's not like running into anyone, but he's definitely not in charge of which direction they're going in.
I think Lilith is going to kind of sense this, and rather than like trying to get Ryan to come over to her, is going to kind of trot over to catch up to Ryan. And just like very excitedly when she catches up to Ryan, like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that you were able to come. There's like so much cool stuff here. There are like a couple queer creators like in one of the corners, and they... I bet have some really, really cool stuff that we should totally check out.
Oh, definitely. And Ryan like trips over like their own feet because Marsha has stopped to sniff something.
I think Lilith is going to, oh my goodness, are you okay? I like totally didn't know that you were going to bring Marsha. You should have told me. I would have been so excited. I mean, I'm still excited, but like it would have been fun to look forward to seeing her and you. I was already looking forward looking forward to seeing you, though, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't know I was bringing Marsha until I was leaving the house, so...
Oh.
Yeah. Is Steve coming? Or is he already here?
Lilith is kind of glance at her phone. It's like, he said he thought he was, like, maybe gonna come, but, like, I haven't really heard from him, so...
Yeah, you invited Steve, and he said he would totally be there, and it sounded fun, and you, like, kind of texted him to remind him, and he's, like, on red, and... yeah. And that's just kind of classic Steve. He's probably running late, or got distracted, or forgot. Or something.
It's pretty classic.
The forgetting is what the reminder text was for.
Don't worry, I'll beat him up for it later.
Does Zarian say that out loud?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it kind of giggles. Like, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah, not in front of Marsha.
Yeah, we, like, wouldn't want her to get any ideas, you know?
I think when you say that, she finishes sniffing whatever she was sniffing and takes off again. And Ryan is, like, pulled along again.
And as you're kind of pulled along down one of the long concrete paths, walking paths throughout the park, the some of the brickwork kind of, like, churns from just kind of, like, red to, like, multicolored rainbow. And you get to kind of the kind of queer creator section that Lilith had just mentioned. And Marsha kind of comes to a stop and then just, like, pounces into, like, a pile of grass and flops down. As you, look around, you notice you are, the booth you're in front of, or, yeah, one of the booths you're near, the person, running it has a familiar kind of short auburn hair.
Uh-huh.
It looks like Rose is here. She's got a cool little booth set up.
Oh, she has a booth? Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think Ryan will crouch down next to Marsha and hide her face.
What is Rose selling at her booth?
She's got all kinds of cool, like, knitwear and, like, scarves and hats and mittens and stuff. But also, like, little sweaters for cats that her her own cat is modeling. Yeah, her cat, Tolstoy, is laying in a, like, a shoebox with a towel in the bottom of it, purring with his eyes closed in the sunlight. There's a little sign hanging off the front of the shoebox that says, "Please pet me." And "please" is in, like, all caps and underlined. And he's wearing a very, really, like, intricately patterned little knit pastel pink and blue and yellow knit sweater. And yeah, she's got, like, all kinds of, like, cute little cat sweaters and stuff, as well as people stuff as well.
Lilith will be petting the cat. She knows how to follow instructions. And I think, is Ryan still just hiding?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Lilith is going to ruin that. To immediately spot a cat sweater in lesbian pride colors and one in, like, genderqueer pride colors. And when she's given Tolstoy some nice head scratches, going to pick them up and hold them up and say, "Oh my goodness, Ryan, wouldn't Marsha look so good in one of these?"
Tolstoy doesn't open his eyes while he's scratching you, but he does purr much louder, kind of flicks his ears a little bit.
Love Tolstoy. He's a cat for the people. I think Ryan will scoop Marsha up in her arms and, like, stand up and blush a lot and be like, "Oh yeah, she would. Yep." And then I think Marsha doesn't like being held, so I think she's wriggling a lot. Doesn't like being held by Ryan. Loves being held by Patrick.
I think Lilith is going to look at her and be like, "Did you, like, fall? Did Marsha knock you over again?"
She's, like, shaking her head. Like, she's like,
"My purse, if you, like, need one for your knee."
"No, I'm cool, thanks. I got my, like, my knee pads on and stuff. It's all good."
Rose looks up from the book she's been reading. It's like, "Oh my god, Ryan, hey, it's so good to see you."
A question for the editor. Has Rose texted, or have we spoken at all since the, like, have we seen each other at school or since the career fair?
I don't know. Ira, question for the editor.
I'm not the editor of this volume. I think maybe Rose has texted you, but, like, not in a way that you've, like, really been able to springboard it into anything. So, like, she's maybe texted, like a picture of Tolstoy, or just, like, yeah, maybe just a follow-up question, like, about the binder she gave you, or, you know, like, she has texted you, but not in a way that you've, like, I think really found a way to, like, turn it into, like, you know, you talking.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, so Ryan will blush harder, wave, and then, like, point between Rose and Lilith and be like, this is Lilith, this is Rose, I met Rose at the, Rose is a friend of Steve's, Lilith is the, you remember when I was at the career fair and I was, like, looking for something, like, it was Lilith I was looking for.
I think we get a panel of Lilith, like, looking at Ryan and looking at Rose and looking back at Ryan and just, like, expression of understanding dawning on her face.
You see the gay panic.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's realized that's what's going on.
You see a not dissimilar dawn of realization on Rose's face as she's like, oh, of course, Lilith, it's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, Lilith is going to hold out a hand for Rose to shake and say, yeah, it's like super nice to meet you too.
I don't know if you have a cat, she says, shaking your hand, but I do have a bunch of cute little, like, mittens and hats that might match your dress for when it gets a little colder out. And she's got like some other like cool, yeah, a lot of pride stuff, and then like a lot of other like really interesting and cool patterns and stuff, one of which is yeah, she's got like a bunch of different like spoopy ghost and skull patterned stuff as well.
Yeah, I think if she kind of like points those out, Lilith is going to, oh my goodness, I totally want to look at those. Maybe you could talk to Ryan for a bit while I look. I'm like kind of indecisive, you know?
Oh yeah, of course.
Lilith is going to very diligently sort through the spooky accessories.
She has a mission.
I feel like
Ryan's not the only one on the Heartbreakers who can wingman.
Yeah, I feel like Masha is like trying to get out of Ryan's arms, but like sniffing in the direction of Tolstoy and like very interested in the fact that there's another cat, and Ryan is like, I don't actually know what you're like with other cats, so I don't want you to go over there. So I feel like there's some juggling going on.
And says that, so how's your uncle been doing?
He's good. Masha like climbing up over her shoulder. She's like grabbing the back of her while she's trying to escape. She's like, yeah, he's good. Just been, you know, like working and doing his thing and, you know, spoiling Masha. And like the lead like wraps around her shoulders as she's like contorting herself, Masha on her back. He's like, I reckon, yeah, Patrick would love it if I got Masha one of these. Although I don't know if she's like, I don't know if cats can identify with the lesbian flag, or if like that's me. Like, should I not project that onto her, or like, I don't know.
Rose chuckles and is like, you know, let me see if we can't find something else. And she kind of like pauses a second and then like reaches like into like a box like kind of behind her little stand she's got set up, and pulls out a cute little cat sweater that's like designed to look like roses growing on like a woven through a wooden lattice. And yeah, she kind of blushes a little bit as she hands it to you. She's like, yeah, I actually designed this one based on your tattoo.
I'm just making this so slapstick, and I hope you don't mind. I think Masha like manages to jump off Ryan's back, and Ryan like spins around, does like a full like 360 and then is just like staring at the little cat sweater, and like touches his own like tattoo, and is like, oh my god, we could be matching, that's so cute.
Marsha does kind of like manage to scramble down one of your arms a little bit, and she kind of like paws at Tolstoy and kind of like bats him on the ears, and he just kind of flicks his ears and doesn't open his eyes.
I think Ryan's fully forgotten about Marsha.
Marsha kind of bats at Tolstoy's ears again, and he kind of opens one eye to glare at her and then closes it.
I think Lilith, who has been paying attention a little bit from the corner of her eye, is going to like swipe up Marsha and kind of look at Ryan. It's just like, oh my gosh, I realized it would be so cute if I like got a selfie with Marsha. You mind if I like go take a couple pictures of her with her?
Sure. You should put her in the sweater. That'd be cute.
Are you gonna buy it first, probably?
Oh yeah, I can buy it. Yep, she's got like two pockets, but she's still fumbling to get out their wallet.
Oh no, don't worry about it. You know, you kind of inspired it anyway. So
Ryan's just like holding his wallet, like, oh, okay, thank you. But I could buy, I'll buy one of the human ones though. I'll buy that lesbian flag one. If you've got it in a human size.
And she laughs at that. And as you make eye contact, there's just like, yeah, the world kind of slows down for a hot, just a second. And it's just like, you notice it's just unusually bright and warm and nice out, but there's just like a light, cool breeze. And right as you're just kind of enjoying this little moment, there's what sounds like a crack of thunder and booming laughter cackles out from the sky. And there's just like a big flash of light from somewhere kind of further in the park. You can't really see it. It's like kind of obstructed by like some trees and a hill and stuff, but it definitely sounds like something is afoot, something of a supervillain's doing.
Kind of seems like someone else's problem.
Oh, Lilith is about to make it her problem. She's just going to like kind of make quick eye contact with Ryan and like give her like the nod, and then she's gonna like run in the direction of is there like a recycling bin nearby?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so I think as she's running by like the recycling bin, she's pulling some glass to like make her costume and maybe a little glass disc to float on, since we ride in style around here.
And as you're kind of stepping up onto your glass disc to style away, there's people now starting to running away from like the flash of light and over the hill, and you start to hear like panicked screaming. There's some disc golfers that doesn't even like watch where his shot lands. It's just staring slack-jawed at whatever is behind the trees over there. And even now, kind of down by where you're standing with Rose, Ryan, panic spreads like wildfire. And like people are starting to, you know, whisper loudly and like starting to like look at the people fleeing on the hill and look at each other. And like, yeah, everyone's getting really panicked and tense. And Rose kind of looks at you like, what do we do? And we turn the page. We get a little editor's note that says a few minutes earlier, we get a shot of the different side of the kind of the craft fair. And it's like over the hill, kind of near where all the screaming and stuff is. But right now it's like all quiet and nice and calm. And we see KT, what are you doing amongst this fascinating display of human art and culture?
KT has bent heat and light around themselves to stay obscured while they're floating gently about 3.5 feet above everyone, just sort of people watching and silently observing like a little weirdo floating above everyone.
Classic KT behavior.
And who've been the most interesting people you've seen so far, just out of curiosity?
There's this one person that's got like kind of like half of their head is bleached, kind of a lemony gold. The other half is like a tartan plaid pattern. And they're doing handstands, and then they're getting yelled at by somebody for doing handstands too close to a very large glass object that's on display. That was pretty neat. And then there are two people talking to some cats. Well, another one's reading a book. That was kind
of
neat.
I love the idea of this straight performer doing handstands and then KT like 3 feet above them, invisible, also doing handstands. Like
floating upside down, looking down at them. Like, what is the appeal of this? What are you doing?
Good stuff.
And as you look down kind of at your toes and the sky beneath them, you are, being the observant person you are, you're probably one of the first people to notice this kind of convalescence of what looks like different floating points of light high up in the clouds.
That is not normal atmospheric behavior for this time of day.
It is not. They appear to be hundreds of little points of like green and red and blue kind of mixing and floating together and kind of like coalescing and gathering. Definitely not like any cloud behavior you've ever seen in your many hours of cloud gazing.
I shall float up to poke it.
And as you float closer to the clouds, the different points of light start forming patterns and swirling together and mixing, and yeah, like very, very organized, very structured, like sudden precise movements as they the colors start to form like a large kind of violet, deep purple and black image of some sort. And as you poke it, you hear like tiny like whirring and humming, like a swarm of angry bees from within the clouds.
That does not sound safe. I shall poke it again.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and roll to poke the situation? It's an assess the situation.
Alrighty.
But all different.
Assessing it with your finger.
Yeah, exactly.
That is going to be a 5 plus a 2 plus a 1. Sorry, I was checking my conditions here. It's
meowing?
Brecker is.
Oh, Brecker.
Brecker, what has she done?
I think he accidentally locked himself in the bathroom.
Oh, sweetie.
They could have done this to you, Brecker. Oh. How could they?
I think the air conditioning light turned on and blew the door closed while he was in there. Anyway.
That is a 8 total.
Awesome.
The biggest threat in this situation is probably this coalescing angry objects. What here is in the greatest danger? Most likely the Terran-bound creatures below me. I think I'm going to ask, what here can I use to get this thing's attention? Oh, here's a better one. What here can I use to communicate with this or these beings?
So these are... beings are very quickly coming together to form some sort of larger picture or image. And right now you're like a little bit too close to kind of get the full picture, as it were.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But seeing as it is, they appear to be using just a large display of light to get the attention of people. Perhaps a large display of light would attract their attention as well.
Mm-hmm.
If only we knew someone who could do something like that.
If only we had the strobe.
Call in the experimental strobe.
There's the mighty Lord Briar down amongst the crowd, correct?
Indeed. Yep.
I shall make my way down to the surface of the earth.
And as you make your way to the surface of the earth and look back up, you see this giant laughing face in the sky. As the booming laughter begins to echo out from the swirling beings in the cloud. And this face is of a young man, a human male, with very sharp features, narrow chin, wearing some sort of like techie-looking enhanced goggles on his forehead. And then most notably, his like above... kind of like the very top of his skull has been, it looks like, or his head has been, it looks like it's been removed and replaced with kind of this like transparent looking dome where his brain is visible underneath. And the dome has like all kinds of electrodes attached to it. And you can see little bolts of electricity firing out from the brain to these different electrodes and sparking outwards. And it's just like the head and neck of this person. So you can't like see what the rest of them looks like, but you do see like a high pointed collar of what looks like a really cool cape around their neck.
Okay. I shall approach Lord Briar with great haste. And
from above?
I think once I am roughly 18 inches or just a little... under what is that in metric? Well,
I almost helpfully converted that to like a foot and a half.
A little more like than a
forearms. Just under a half meter.
Yeah. A little under forearms length away. KT shall become visible in front of Ryan and start exclaiming, "Look up above. There's a dude up there. He's got a really cool cape."
So you're just right in front of me?
So this now catches us back up to the present. We come back to the same panel of Rose, and she's just said, "Brian, what do we do?" And then out of nowhere, boom, they're just like, not boom, but just like, KT just into existence.
Wait, did Lilith take Masha?
No.
Boy, we hope so.
Okay.
No, I'm going to be honest, she did not. She was going to take Masha. To give Ryan more time with Rose that wasn't, like, with a cat crawling all over them. But then this seemed like a higher priority in terms of giving Ryan more time to work. But
yeah, so we're going to have to...
Marcia in danger.
Yeah, that's good. That's good priority work from Lilith. So, I think, Ryan... KT does this a lot, but it's been a while since Ryan's seen them, I think. So I think Ryan is going to, like... jump because afraid, sudden appearance, then land on her skates a little bit wrong, probably, in an attempt to not fall backwards, because that's the worst thing you can do on skates, is going to fall forwards into KT. I don't know if KT is, like, solid at this point, or if Ryan's going to go straight through them, or...
How corporeal are you feeling right now, KT?
That is an interesting question. Probably quite.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, so I think Ryan and KT both kind of crash into Rose's table of goods, jostling poor old Tolstoy. Marsha jumps, like, out of Ryan's arms and onto the table and, like, circles KT trying to get to Tolstoy. So Ryan and KT are now bound by Marsha's lead. And Ryan's going to be like, cool. KT, this is Rose. Rose, KT.
It is a pleasure to meet your acquaintance, Lady Rose.
Rose kind of, you know, looks concerned at the whole situation, but to her credit, just kind of nods. Likewise.
So Ryan's going to try to untangle himself from KT and end up maybe, like, just leaning across them, because they're quite short, right?
Yes.
So I think they kind of, like, put their arms, like, over one of your shoulders and just kind of, like, push you down a little bit because you're levitating, and then, like, lean over and, like, holding out the, like, lead, like, the leash, like, hand thing, and being like, Rose, could you please watch Marsha and keep Marsha and Tolstoy cool and safe while I deal with this?
Yeah, what do you mean deal with this? What are you going to do?
I'll explain that. KT and I will explain that in a bit. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you.
Wait, Ryan, are you serious? And she kind of yells after you as you take off.
Yeah, Ryan's, like, wrapped one arm around KT's shoulders, if KT's okay with that, and is, like, dragging them away. Like, yep, I'll be back. I'll tell you about it when we're all safe and it's all good.
And Rose kind of opens her mouth to yell something back, but she is cut off by the booming voice from the sky. This city deserves a better class of supervillain. Not one that is self-serving and greedy. No, one that is worthy of fighting the heroes of this wonderful place, which is why I have arrived. And the, like, floating face in the sky, like, flashes really bright, and then out of it floats a man on what looks like a small cloud or, like, cluster of drones that are all, like, flashing and blinking lights. And it is the entire man from the floating sky face. He's a lot smaller in person. He's, yeah, like, probably, I don't know, he's like 5.5-ish feet tall, perhaps. Yeah, he's 5'4". We're going with 5'4". Not that it matters. But yeah, he's got these sharp angular features and this, like, helmet. But the helmet with the brain and the lightning is almost the least fantastical thing about his whole getup. He's got just, like, he's wearing this, like, lab coat with a really high collar that's buttoned down just, like, one side of the collar and, like, down to the arm and around the shoulder and, like, all down one side, you know? Then he's got this, like, big purple gloves that go all the way up to his elbows that have all kinds of, like, gadgets on them. It looks like one of the gloves has what looks like what's got to be at least 2.5 to 3 different kinds of ray lasers, blasters, what have you. And then the other glove has, like, little, like, fold-up screen with a keyboard on it and a little tiny joystick and also a little tiny satellite dish, presumably for controlling all of his little drones. He's got, like, a gadget belt just practically overflowing with all kinds of glowing and blinking gadgets and some kind of pistol that is completely sci-fi tricked out on a holster and just this awesome, magnificent flowing cape with this high collar and, like, big shoulder pads with spikes on them. And yeah, he's got this it's all kind of the cape is all held in place attached to this, like, symbol on the center of his lab coat, which is like, you know, a brain, like a front view of a brain with electrons like of an atom orbiting around it. And as you see him for the first time, he's declares in like big letters splashed all across the sky. "For it is I, his evil eminence, the mastermind." And there's like the sound of like gasps and applause. You're not really sure from where, because like most of the people are like gone, but you do hear it. So you've just seen Mastermind, and he's also just used one of his custom moves. So this move is called Presentation, in all caps and bolded. When Mastermind performs a grandiose spectacle to display his awesome power, he gets to choose one of three. The civilians flock to the area, Mastermind appears in an unexpected place, or the third one, which he will choose, is all heroes watching him mark a condition unless they admit that it is actually pretty cool looking.
Oh, well, thinks it's cool looking.
There you go. You have to admit it, though. You have to, like, out loud recognize how cool it looks.
Oh, no, like, she is... I mean, I want to, like, let other people react, but I think she is, like, floating up to him and going to, like, try yelling at him, like, "Oh my goodness, I love your cape."
Awesome, awesome. What is Ryan choosing?
I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I think I'm going to mock guilty because I just left Rose with my cat without explanation really suddenly and rudely.
Again.
So.
Again.
You just can't do it, huh?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Amazing.
Physically and, cannot.
And KT, how are you reacting to this grandiose display of awesome power?
I mean, KT's already admitted that they have a pretty cool cape, so... KT is going to give credit where credit is due and go, "That is rather amazing spectacle. I am impressed."
Ryan's concerned. Everyone's been brainwashed.
And Mastermind practically beams as he floats down to the ground. And it is on that note that we have our team coming together to face a dangerous foe. So, who is the leader?
I mean, I think it's Lilith.
I feel like Lilith might also kind of think she is taking point on this one, mostly because she ran to deal with it for wingmanning purposes.
I don't think KT has met Lilith.
I don't think KT has met Lilith either.
I believe KT has seniority over the Mighty Briar. So I think KT believes it's KT in this rare... Kyra's not in charge battle.
I'm actually not usually in charge with Lilith.
Oh, it sounds like the majority of the team thinks Lilith is in charge.
That sounds fair.
But this will be interesting to dive into momentarily. Lilith, you have influence over all of your teammates.
I sure do not.
Okay, so we started the game with one team in the pool, add team for going into battle. We do not add another team there. Lilith, what is your purpose in this fight?
My purpose is to restore order to the craft fair. Subgoal A, give Ryan more time to talk to Rose.
Excellent. Ryan, what is your goal in this fight?
Restore order. Subgoal A, don't be hated by Rose. And subgoal B, unbrainwash my friends.
Poor Ryan just has to deal with so many of her girlfriends and non-girlfriends being impressed by mediocre men. It really is the bane of their
existence. It's literally, it's so hard being a lesbian on this team.
Amazing. And KT, what is your purpose?
To restore peace so that KT may continue watching animals and cats.
Excellent, excellent. So we will add another team to the pool for everyone having the same purpose. Does anyone mistrust anyone else on the team?
KT's on thin ice with that that cock block, but not at the moment.
Cool. And is the team ill-prepared or off-balance?
I feel like Lilith is, you know, she had time to get her glass on and whatever. I think it would be unfair to say everyone is equally prepared for this.
I'm pretty off balance.
Yeah.
It's the skates.
So often.
They're the only thing keeping me balanced right now.
And Katie, how prepared do you feel?
I would say reasonably prepared, because like large, powerful things just appearing out of thin air to destroy is somewhat normal. However, KT has been away for a very long time now, so I'm going to say not prepared.
Excellent. Okay, cool. So we will wind up removing a team. So we have three team in the pool starting out. Also, another thing that I forgot about until just now. Lilith, you have a move that triggers at the start of each game.
Sure do. I was going to mark angry to avoid that team being removed.
Perfect.
Yeah, she's mad that her day is being interrupted.
Valiant team leader.
So I roll flat plus my highest obligation, which right now is Joe Magic. So I have one obligation on Joe. So that is a 9. So on a 7-9, they call for a favor.
Excellent. I love hearing that. Cool. And this is Joe Magic?
Yes.
Wonderful. Lovely. Perfect. I will just keep that in my back pocket, and I'm sure it definitely won't come up later. Yeah. So what does it look like as everyone kind of is gathering together as Mastermind is descending to the ground?
I think Lilith had kind of like floated up there to see him. So I think there's this awkward, like, she had kind of was almost like prepared to confront him, and then he apparently like just didn't even notice her, I guess. She yelled at him that she liked his cape. He did not respond, and now I think
when you yelled that you like his cape, he like flashes you this like beaming smile and kind of waves at you. And as he kind of steps off of his little drones and walks onto the grass, he says, "Oh, thank you. Please, please, no need for applause. Of course, you may address me as His Evil Eminence or Sir. His Evilness will also do."
Lilith is going to kind of touch down on the ground. She's going to try flirting with him and see how far that gets her. So that he says that, and I think she kind of is like, "What about, like, can I call you handsome? Is that allowed?"
"Indeed. And what is your name, valiant hero? What may I call you?"
She's going to, like, offer her hand, but, like, in a, like, the way, like, royalty will, like, offer your hand to be kissed. And she's going to say, "You can, like, call me Shatter."
He bows with a flourish and just barely brushes his lips against your hand before spinning around and twirling his cape.
"Behold, I am a gracious and valiant villain, worthy of facing heroes like you. You see, I do not seek self-interest. No, I do not want anything from you other than for you to try and stop me and my evil villainous plan."
And he throws his arms wide in the air, and like little like bolts of electricity shoot out of his helmet. He looks very pleased with himself. What is KT doing?
I would like to describe what I wish to do, because I'm not sure which one of these it fits with.
Perfect.
I would like to reverse the gravitational pull of his cape so that instead of hanging down off of his collar and shoulders, it sticks straight up. And I'm not sure if that would be considered unleashing powers or provoking someone.
Does sound like reshaping the environment a bit.
I'm actually so glad you asked, because in reality, it is actually triggering another one of the Mastermind's custom moves.
He's got one designed if you mess with his drip.
His move is called, "Wait a second, I swear I had something for this." Whenever you attempt to restrain or subdue Mastermind, he produces an oddly specific gadget to attempt to escape. Roll plus superior if you attempt to outwit him, or plus danger if you attempt to overpower him. So he kind of feels his cape beginning to flutter upwards, and he whips his glove up, the one with the, and flips open the little kind of, it's like a little miniature laptop on his wrist, flips up the little screen and really like does some quick tippy taps. And before the cape is even like halfway up his back, a little robot scuttles out of his belt and splits into another little robot, and they kind of scuttle behind him and grab the edges of his cape and kind of like flash with this like weird purpley glow to attempt to negate your gravity and pull the edges of his cape back down to Earth.
So that would be a roll on superior, you said? I guess technically more outwitting than overpowering. Because we're not really trying to... I'm just trying to make him look stupid, really.
Cool. Yeah, go ahead and roll plus superior then.
That is going to be a 6 plus a 5 plus a 1 for superior. And if this is not considered like provoking or unleashing powers, then it would be just a 12.
Yep. Yeah, custom moves and non-basic moves aren't affected by conditions, generally.
Sweet.
Yeah. So on a hit, you manage to keep him restrained. So unfortunately for him, his little gravity bots begin to kind of spark, and as they cannot overpower the force of an entire black hole, and begin to like compress in on themselves and belch black smoke and sparks. And they begin to kind of like, instead of pulling straight down, they kind of begin to like pull randomly in like all kinds of different directions. And like try and spin his cape around, and he gets very like extremely flustered. He's like, hold on a minute, and he keeps like tapping on his things. Hold on, and keeps tapping on it, and like, but yeah, he is all tangled up right now. And you and your team have an opportunity. What is Ryan doing?
I've been like drawing Ryan's expression, and I just realized that Ryan is like so Patrick's son. Because she's now here in this frickin' like thing in a goddamn helmet on her skates. Like she's Monitor Junior right now. Because for once she doesn't have her costume on underneath her clothes. Because she doesn't have enough clothes on today. What did I do that for?
It's hard to fit your swimsuit. You're like, yeah, your singlet costume under booty shorts.
Well, it's more the crop top, really, to be honest. Like, it's mm-hmm, just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, what am I going to do?
Yeah, really.
So I think she is, I mean, she's bad at keeping her secret identity anyway. But where are we in relation to the dude? I'm not going to call him his evil eminence.
I assume you were just kind of, I'm imagining, you know, maybe a couple meters away. Lilith is kind of floated down, probably a little closer to him. I don't know where KT abouts is floating, but.
I think technically I'm still being held on.
Oh, you didn't break away from me to do any, you just did it while no, we were.
I just did it.
Okay.
Oh yeah. KT just does things.
Cool. So I think Ryan is going to squeeze KT once in a side hug. Before letting go. And then while he's distracted, I think I'm just gonna like skate in real quick and try and punch him.
Ooh. Before you roll to engage a threat.
Oh god. More custom
I'm just gonna
moves.
Tell you how he reacts, and you can tell me if you like continue to if you wanna still make the roll and attack him.
Okay.
So as you like charge forward, he kind of like finally rips his cape out of the box and like kind of sees you out of the corner of his eye and like raises a finger threateningly over a button on his glove and says,
Yeah, that's not going to stop me.
Excellent. Roll to directly engage a threat. Oh, I love Ryan.
All right. That's going to be a 4 plus a 4 for 8 plus 3 danger is 11 minus 2 because I'm afraid is 9.
Nice. If no one has any objections, I would like to spend one team to give Mighty Briar a hand, as it were.
How do you do that? How does that appear on the page?
KT will continue actively manipulating the gravitational pull of the Mastermind's cape and start spinning it around in circles around his head, up and over, like
yes!
You know those inflatable, wacky...
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's doing that number.
So he starts like and he's like flailing wildly, and Ryan, your fist just connects straight in the bridge of his nose, and he goes flying backwards. Go ahead and pick 2 from the directly engage a threat list.
I would like to resist or avoid their blows, and also create an opportunity for my allies.
perfect. So Mastermind kind of tumbles through the grass, head over heels, and slowly stands up as like blood is like pouring from his nose. And he like pulls out a little like nasal spray thing from his utility belt and kind of does like a little, you know, like once up each nostril, and kind of like stands up and kind of like shakes himself off, you know, as if nothing happened, and presses the button on his glove. And as he does so, he gets like the hint of just like a genuine, just like smile as he does it. And he says, "Now, heroes, you have activated, you have forced me to activate my master plan. For I have polluted the water in all of the sprinklers in the entire southeastern side, southwestern corner of the burbs, with capsaicin. So that when, in the sweltering heat of the summer, your children run through the sprinklers, they play in the fountains, your dogs drink from the parks, their eyes will burn, and your mouths will foam, and you will know that you are ruled by the most evil supervillain in the entire southwestern corner of the burb."
There is already a great flaw in your plan.
The drones behind him begin to form like a giant countdown clock, which is set at 10 minutes.
Uh-oh.
"And what might that be, hero?"
"I do not have any children."
"Well then, think of the innocent children that will be harmed."
"Oh yes, that is unfortunate."
"You have but 9 minutes and 42 seconds to defeat me before the master stroke is unleashed."
And he draws the just outlandishly techie laser pistol from his holster on his belt and uses it, like, while holding it, does like an elegant bow and clicks the heels on like his Doc Martens that give him like an extra, you know, like 2 or 3 inches of height. That are also like highly teched out in like rocket thrusters, kind of like out from the bottom of them as he starts to rise into the air.
"And now let our battle begin."
"Now let it begin? Didn't it already begin? I punched him."
"That doesn't count."
Lilith is going to raise her hand.
The clock hadn't started yet. "Yes, you, hero."
Kind of confused, like, "I'm actually a villain like you. Like, I don't know if you know this because I'm a little small time, because like I robbed a whole bunch of banks though, and like you may have seen this video of me like with the bus, and you know, I'm actually kind of like you, and I kind of have some notes on your plan."
"Are you triggering one of your moves right now?"
"I am hoping to provoke him to criminal or villainous action."
"Yeah,
using my not so different
sounds like
move.
Absolutely. What are you trying to get him to do?"
"I am going to try and convince him, instead of doing this to, like, the burbs, to do it to, like, I don't know, the Farsec building, maybe? Just to kind of redirect the attack to someone that she doesn't like."
"Ah, yes. Another villain. I have heard of you. Of course I have. I know everything. I am the world's most dastardly mind."
And, like, lightning flashes from his little brain helmet.
"Now, villain, we will join my cause, and we will take over the entire southern half of the burbs."
Lilith is going to kind of float up on her disc and sort of, like, offer her hand again and say, "Yeah, but, like, do you really want to do the burbs? Or do you want to, like, I don't know, go for, like, the Farsec base or like something on Paragon Island, you know, like a little more big time?"
"Excellent. Yeah, I think you definitely triggered that roll."
"Yeah.
Let's see it."
So I get to roll plus danger instead of superior. And that's an 8.
"Excellent. On a 7 to 9, they rise to the bait and do what you want, or they can instead choose one. And he is going to and you gain a critical opportunity. As he says,
"Why, yes, of course, the big time. Then the real heroes will notice us. Why, this time next year we could have the entire city under our control. But wait, are you sure? You know, Farsec is pretty dangerous, and, you know, there are a lot of heroes in that part of the town, you know. Why don't we act something together? You know, like, I'm sure we can pair notes. I'm sure we can figure something out. You know, I actually bought a lot of that capsaicin. So, like, I've got a lot left, you know, we could figure something out. Is he, like, you know, move, like, yeah, like, goes to kind of just, like, walk off into the distance with you and compare notes and come up with a scheme. But he's very focused on you and this intriguing offer you have made him. Ryan and KT, what are you doing?
Ryan's, like, shocked. I don't think she really fully understood that Lilith was a villain. I don't think that's ever gotten through. I'm sure someone said it at some point.
Vice has said it at so many points.
He says so many things.
That's fair.
But seeing, like, Lilith just go, like, hey, I'm the same as you, and a villain be like, yeah, you are, is like, what?
To be fair, I think Steve would have a similar reaction.
He's not.
Were he not, like, playing an intense PvP game of World of Magecraft with Germ, and it was only going to take like 10 minutes, but now it's like, you know, 45 minutes in and like quadruple overtime, and like you can't leave now because, you know, anyway, that's an entirely different thing. I think he's like assumed she had like a shady past or whatever, but to see someone just be like, oh yeah, you're a villain. Yeah, I think that would throw him too.
But he's not here.
So I think I think Ryan's like turning to KT and being like, did you know that did everybody know?
Did he really think that Farsec is scary?
That's what you got out of that? You're not worried about Lilith switching sides, being villain, like,
I don't know Lilith.
Shatter, you don't know about Shatter?
I've never met Shatter either.
She's right there.
It is a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Lady Shatter.
I think Lilith is going to kind of wave back at them from behind.
Ryan's like got her arms out and is like mouthing like, what?
Meanwhile, I think Lilith might be trying to pierce the mask.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we get a nice little panel of you kind of giving him, what kind of look does she give him as he's talking about how he could actually, it'd be probably better if he could find a way to vaporize the capsaicin and distribute it from like his drones.
Yeah, she's...
And actually why he didn't think of that earlier, because it sounds like just so much more evil.
Yeah, she's hamming it up and just like, oh yeah, that sounds like so interesting. You're so smart. You know that scene in Barbie where all the Barbies infiltrate the Kens?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what she's doing right now.
Awesome. Give us that roll plus mundane to pierce the mask.
Yeah, so fortunately I do get to ask one, and even on a miss, I'm going to preface this -4 roll with reminding the audience of that.
Getting ahead of myself for no reason at all.
Yep. Okay, so that's a 3. But I get to ask one even on a miss. I think what I want to ask is, how could I get your character to like leave the craft fair alone? But I think she's just kind of like oohing and awing at his gadgets and just like, but you like have to have a motive, you know, like I'm so fascinated. I want to hear like, you know, like what brought you to this point, you know, like what is your villain backstory?
And like, as you're like talking to him and stuff, you see his face just light up to just see someone who's just generally interested in him. And like his like kind of facade like breaks, and he's just like, you know, talking about like how excited he was about like science and superheroes, and he, you know, like always wanted to like be like, you know, be recognized for that, but like no one ever pays attention to people who don't stand out. But you know, he's got this plan that to become the world's greatest, most evil supervillain. So, yeah, if you could figure out a way that, you could convince him that there is more attention and, like, press and, yeah, more villainous grandeur somewhere else, he would absolutely probably leave the craft fair alone.
Yeah, do we want to catch back up with Ryan and KT? Will I chew on that information?
Yeah, also, that was a miss.
Oh, yeah.
So I get a bad thing that I'm just going to keep in my pocket for right now. And you also get to my potential. Ryan, yeah, what are you going to do as you watch your, what you thought was your friend and teammate, walk away with a supervillain? Like, and a guy at that.
Why did bad things happen to good people?
Why do bad things, in parentheses, boys, happen to good people, in parentheses?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, they're just walking away, or are they floating up somewhere?
They're just walking. Or, I mean, I guess they could be floating.
Lilith is kind of a floater, you know? I kind of imagine it, like, I think they're not actually ascending so much as just kind of floating on their respective floating devices. And he's, like, quite a bit shorter than her, so his are, like, hovering higher off the ground so that he can be taller than her. That's what I'm
thinking. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Beautiful. Cool. Is there a tree nearby?
Absolutely.
I would like to use a tree. I would like to shoot my brambles out and use the tree as, like, a way to slingshot myself up to them.
Yeah. I mean, I think that absolutely sounds like something you can do.
Cool. Do I have to roll it, or?
I mean, no, I think, like, are you just, like, swinging up the hill towards them, or are you going to try and, like, what are you going to do after you, what were your plans once you arrived?
I was planning to, like, land on him.
Excellent. So I think as you, like, yeah, launch yourself towards him, we get a glimpse of, like, from his perspective, talking to Shatter. And he sees in the reflection of the glass of her mask, Ryan flying in behind him. And he whips the pistol from his belt and moves to fire it. So you have an opportunity. You can choose to like intercept it or let Ryan take the hit, I think is what I will offer you.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll intercept it.
Awesome. So, you have triggered another custom move, which is great.
How many of these did you make?
I made 4, and they're all awesome. This is not an ice beam. Whenever you are hit with Mastermind's Entropic Freeze Ray, you choose 2 from the below list instead of taking a powerful blow. Yeah, there's no roll. You just take 2 when you're hit with the Freeze Ray from this list. A limb is immobilized. Mark a condition.
I will go ahead and do 1 limb and a condition.
Cool. Which limb did you use to block the bright blue laser that fires from his entropic freeze ray, Mark 2.3?
Presumably, whatever is like her dominant hand. I think she just kind of like put a glass shield up on it, or tried to at least, and just like, you know, put her hand out in front of the freeze ray.
Yeah, so what you discover is that it's not like a beam or like a blast per se. It's like more of a field that just, it like saps energy around it. Like the energy straight out of the molecules, just like an like a beam of entropy that it creates. And so you just feel all of the energy and heat just sucked out of your dominant arm. And it just kind of swings to one side as his evil eminence, the mastermind, stares at you in disbelief. KT, what do you do as this battle breaks loose once again?
How is Mastermind flying? It is mechanical in nature, correct?
It is. He has a drone swarm that follows him around that he can command with a device on his wrist. And okay. He's like currently standing on some of them.
Let's see.
They look like mini UFOs with LEDs around them.
Oh, let's see. Might I be able to roll to defend the Mighty Briar from his attack?
Ooh, absolutely. So, what does it look like on page as you move to defend them?
In order for you Earthican creatures to fly, you must generate a force more powerful than your Earth's gravitational pull, I think it'd be fun to give him a hand and lessen the Earth's gravity on him, making him skyrocket straight up so that his little flight generators are overcompensating greatly.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't think you're directly moving to restrain or subdue him as much as you're just unleashing your power. So go ahead and give us that roll plus freak.
Oh, that's going to be a 6 plus a 6 plus a 0 with the correct conditions not checked for a 12 total.
Hell yeah. So Mastermind is, you know, like mockingly shocked in disbelief that you could betray him like this, and then actually shocked in disbelief as he starts levitating much faster than intended, and quickly is actually pretty scared as he starts accelerating. And no, wait, I wasn't talking about my job! And like Team Rocket starts blasting off straight up. And as he does, he also gets to make a move. So he puts two fingers to kind of the, there's like a metal sort of like a band around the base of like where his like head transitions to this transparent dome thing. And he like pushes a button on it, and this electric mind warping reality field just like brain blasts towards you. Yeah. How do you react?
Could I just quickly clarify something?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I slingshotted myself at him and he's now not there.
Mm-hmm.
So where do I land?
That is unfortunate.
I guess right next to Lilith.
In the air, though?
You could probably grab onto Lilith's disc.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't imagining that they were floating very high, just like a foot or two off the ground.
Oh, okay. I was imagining them in the sky.
Yeah, no. He is now about that high in the sky, but I think they were a little lower to the ground, thankfully, when you launched yourself. So, yeah, he, Mastermind has blasted you, trying to blast you with this mental energy blast, KT.
I guess I can attempt to dodge or something. I don't really have anything for mentality. I'm going to rocket myself straight up and hopefully see if I can outmaneuver that mental beam.
Excellent. You have triggered another custom move, the last one.
Yes!
Which I'm so glad we got to all four of them. Thank you. The world's most dastardly mind. When Mastermind unleashes a mental attack, describe how you resist or avoid it, and roll plus conditions marked.
Roll plus conditions marked. Let's see.
Yep, it's kind of like taking a powerful blow, but it's like his own custom version of that.
Okay. This might be fun. It is a 6 plus a 3
okay.
plus 3 conditions. Afraid, angry, and insecure.
Amazing.
Total of 12.
Awesome. You, unfortunately, so on a 10 plus, you pick 2 from the following list. On a 7 to 9, you only pick 1. And then on a miss, you stand strong and mark potential as normal. So yeah, pick 2 from the following list. Mastermind shifts your labels. Mastermind implants a mental command inside your brain, which is like he automatically gets like a 12 plus to try and persuade you to do something. So yeah, it's like you get plus 1 if you do it, mark a condition if you don't thing. And then the third option is mark a condition unless you recognize Mastermind's superiority and or genius intellect.
Okay. Well, Mastermind is definitely going to shift my labels.
Awesome.
And I think it'd be really, really funny if he implants a suggestion, because there's no way that can go horrifically wrong.
Definitely not the most powerful member of the team or anything.
Absolutely not. I freaking love it. So Mastermind wants, like, he wants a hero that is worth fighting, an arch nemesis. So he is going to, and not only that, but he wants them to be, like, he wants to look good fighting them. So he is going to shift your danger up by 1 to -1. And he's going to lower your superior by 1 down to 0. Because he's obviously more superior than you.
Okay.
And then the mental suggestion The mental command is basically to throw the fight, lose the fight, but make it look awesome.
Gotcha.
What do you do? What is the look on Graviton's face as they just brute force their way through this attack?
I guess the color starts draining from Graviton's eyes as they slowly become pitch black, and it spreads like ink blots through their skin and hair until their entire form is a color beyond space. And they begin to pull all light in the neighborhood towards themselves and slowly become the brightest thing in the neighborhood. And then they rise to meet the mastermind.
So we get like a big splash page of like we've got like a great series of panels of KT's face and body as they rise. And then we just get like a big full page panel.
So many Kirby dots.
With just exploding with Kirby dots as they kind of come level with the mastermind, his most evilnessness, who's just like just a grin from ear to ear, could not be happier. And we turn the page and we get a close up shot of Ryan's face looking up as they're watching this. What do we see?
I feel like Ryan's like on the ground, has like fallen onto the like grass, and you see their helmet askew and like a little reflection in their eyes of like black hole KT, and like a little bubble that says like, oh no, they've gone full black hole.
And how does Lilith react to this?
She turns her headpiece into like super thick sunglasses.
Amazing. Mastermind also pulls down his goggles over his eyes and levels his other glove at you and starts firing like all these different colored beams of light towards you. You're pretty obviously designed to just look really cool more than anything, than actually dealing any damage. But yeah, there is just like bright flashes of light as the two of you start to do battle.
While continuing becoming brighter and brighter, multiple points of light kind of break off and form small, probably grapefruit-sized orbs around the two of them, each one manifesting and shedding a different full pure spectrum of visible light. So you have bulbs of light that are blue and red and yellow, shifting like puddles of oil in the sunlight as each one slowly orbits, and then they all just stop at once and center their beams upon Mastermind.
They've gone full disco.
KT reaches out and slaps him.
Amazing. How hard are you slapping him?
With the full physical might that KT can muster.
Yeah, go ahead and roll the directly engaged threat.
Nice. The full physical might of KT's spindly little arms. That is a 2 plus a 3 plus a minus 1 for a 4 total.
That's pretty good.
4 total?
Yes. To be fair, the command was throw the fight.
That's true.
That is very true.
KT's been getting calf muscles, not biceps.
If KT had kicked him, then he would be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
KT works out for the aesthetics, not for the strength.
So your fist slams like right towards him. But at the last second, the like brain inside the electron symbol on his chest like flashes, and like a force field shield appears that like stops your fist. But he still goes flying backwards and like into a nearby building. Yeah, so like you hit him and he just flies straight backwards through a building, like to make it look like he took a super powerful hit, you know. But he actually does real harm to the building, and it is now structurally unstable, and the civilians inside are starting to scream as the building itself starts to crack and crumble, and Mastermind begins to laugh again.
You are strong, Graviton, but alas, you are no match for me.
And he fires just a brilliant, bright beam of light from his gauntlet towards you, which again doesn't really do anything, but it does look really cool. But yeah, more importantly, there are now people in harm's way. Mighty Briar, how do you react?
Ryan's just going to go straight for the building, and she's going to make a big plant arm and like push the, like if there's like a bit of building that's like fallen down, or if there's like a, something blocking the entranceway, she's just going to like use big plant arm to like hold that up so that people can get out of the building.
Awesome. Absolutely. Roll to defend.
That is 3 + 4 = 7 + 3 = 10.
Hell yeah. Amazing. On a hit, you keep them safe and you get to choose one from the following list.
I would like to clear afraid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like as you're holding this building up and like straining against the weight, there's like the people are moving out. Fortunately, it's like kind of in the middle of the day and most of the people were out, and there were just kind of like one or two families, but it's like the last family is coming out. This mom's got like this little girl in her arms, and as she's kind of like ducking under the beam that's broken, the girl like just looks up at you with these bright eyes. Wow, a superhero!
Ryan smiles through the pain.
Awesome. And you are not only able to like get all the people out of the building safely, you're got some vines reaching out and kind of like reinforcing things and pulling it back together, and it might not even fully collapse now. You've kind of got it steadied again. Lilith, what are you up to?
Yeah, presumably this building thing means a lot of broken glass.
Oh, you can presume.
Lilith is getting kind of tired of this guy, and she is going to pull all of the glass that she can from this broken building. And you see it just kind of like forming around her, this like, she's still on her pedestal, but kind of almost in the same way that like he used the drones to like make a giant his face in the sky. I think you see it like just kind of like these shards of glass just kind of forming around her in like this way that makes it look like she's just like kind of larger than life. Like I think she's this like little glass figure illusion thing has like these giant like angel like wings kind of behind it. And I think she takes all this glass and she is going to rise up to his level.
Mega Lilith.
Yeah.
He is definitely taken aback and takes notice and immediately stops paying attention to KT. KT, your opponent is distracted.
Am I still being told, or am I still being convinced to throw the fight?
So how his mental commands kind of work is, if you can like explain to me why you think you fulfilled it, I will allow it.
I don't, like, if we're going to go with the strictest sense of that ruling, I haven't thrown the fight yet. There's a lot of kayfabe going on, and, you know, I've just thrown Mastermind 12 feet through a cage onto announcer's table in 1999, but I haven't lost, which is...
But yeah, just as a future note, his mental commands aren't, you know, like, that good, you know? So it's like, if he's like, attack that civilian, and you like, you know, like flick him on the head with your finger.
I gotcha.
You know, if you can outsmart his commands, I will allow it.
KT is going to take a hot minute, and they are going to kick their feet out, so their shoulder width apart. KT is going to straighten their back and hold their arms straight up with their palms stretched towards the heaven, and they're going to gather all that light around themselves and focus it into a giant ball above their heads. For those of you cultured individuals, this is definitely the spirit bomb from Dragon Ball Z. So pulling as many photons of light from as many light sources available in a half mile radius, KT is going to start creating a 1,000-foot diameter ball above their heads. And that's the end of my turn.
Mastermind is going to like look up in awe and then over at this like hologram, and like his nose is like kind of started to bleed again, and his like tape's like a little like torn and burned from where he was like fighting against his own robots. But he kind of says under his breath, like, what are you doing? Don't outstage me, you know?
That was not part of the plan.
I think if Lilith hears that, she's just going to kind of like, oh, like, if you wanted to not be outstaged, you maybe should have, like, fought someone else, you know? Like, I'm going to be honest, I have more style than you. And I think she's going to take all this glass and just, like, start, I believe the term of art is glass tornado.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still, like, utilizing his drones or, like...
Yeah.
Well, I think Lilith is going to try and glass tornado his drones.
Awesome, yeah. And as you conjure forth this glass tornado to go and shred his drones, you see just, like, this look of just, like, shock and indignation and like just your words hurt him more than getting punched in the face ever could. And he begins to shout like, you could never outstage me, right as whatever happens when you roll to unleash your powers.
So that's a 7.
Boom. So on a hit, you do it. Mark a condition, or I get to tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
I'm gonna let you tell me how it's unstable or temporary. I already have guilty marked, which feels like the condition that I would mark. I don't feel like I'm marking any of those other conditions, so.
Yeah, so you create this like big swirling tornado that just absolutely shreds his drones. And your glass, like, he starts to fall and, like, taps his Doc Martens again to, like, get his little jet boots going. And then your glass tornado just, like, rips through those two. And he falls down to the ground, like, through this cloud of glass and kind of hits the ground and is just kind of, like, totally shocked and, like, just stunned in awe looking up at you. And start to notice, like, there's, like, some tears in, like, parts of the, like, costume. Like, his kind of, like, glass dome helmet thing is kind of ajar a little bit. And you, like, just kind of just see this look on his face of just, like, not that this defeat is so, so much more than just that this defeat is crushing his, like, his dream, his hope of ever seeing anything, you know, light, anything happy again in this world is just getting, you know, he's just losing his dream right in front of his eyes. And I think because you have guilty mark, that is what makes the glass tornado temporary.
I think if she sees that he feels bad, she might go kind of like...
Sorry, one other thing that I was going to mention that I forgot about is also you notice that he looks like a lot younger than you thought originally. Like, he might not actually even be much older than you. Like, he's clearly like dressed himself and like has like, you know, like makeup and stuff to make himself look like an adult. But yeah, you also noticed that.
I think it was pretty clear he dressed himself. Yeah, I think she will like, I don't know that, I think she's kind of made her point. And she feels like she has adequately outstaged him. And I think she will like, because she feels kind of bad for him, sort of send a little glass ball to scoop him up and like pull him away from like where people can see him and kind of just like try to have like a little bit of a heart to heart with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think he's gonna like try to resist you at all. You've obviously overpowered him in all of his vast intellect. Yeah, he's just kind of sits down on the floor of this little glass kind of enclosure and like his head kind of puts his head on his knees and says like, well, hero, going to finish me off now.
I think Lilith is going to roll her eyes and like, oh my gosh, no, like why would I do that? But she is going to kind of like pull up. She's still on her glass disc and I think she's just going to kind of like, you know, sit cross-legged on it and kind of look at him and say, did it like make you feel bad that I lied to you about being like you?
I just wanted, no one cares about you if you don't stand out.
I think she's going to kind of look at him and just say, yeah, well, if you hang out with villains, they like lie all the time. And if you don't like that, then maybe you shouldn't hang around with villains. And here's the thing. I did used to be a villain, and I'm trying not to do that anymore. But like, when I was a villain, everyone paid attention to me. And that seems like it would be kind of cool, but like, it wasn't. I actually think it's better if only a few people care about you, but they like really care about you.
Yeah. He's got quite a few conditions marked right now. And he's going to kind of say, can I tell you something? Never really wanted any, like, you know, like dogs or cats to get hurt by my plan. You know, I only realized that after it was too late and I felt really bad.
Okay, first of all, I like was not going to let you hurt the cats.
Oh, thank God.
And I think she's going to say, okay, so you like obviously like science and you like building things, right? You're like
clearly
really into gadgets.
Obviously.
I know this guy. His name is Joe. I think he'd like appreciate what you did. And like maybe you guys could like hang out or whatever and you would like, I don't know, feel like you got recognition for being smart since that kind of seems like what you want.
Really? You would do that for me? Even after everything I've done to you and your friends?
Okay, like, first of all, the only thing you've really done is, like, messed up my afternoon, but, like, only a little bit. Like, I'm gonna be honest, you're not powerful enough to, like, really ruin my day. But sure.
You saw how big that hologram of my head was, right?
Do you know how big of a glass head I could make if I wanted to.
Okay, okay.
Look, do you, like, want to meet Joe or not?
Yes. Very well, Hero, he says, and he kind of stands up straight, kind of, like, wipes his nose a little bit, adjusts his little, like, helmet thing, and you see as he does so, like, a little bit of hair kind of peeking out from, like, the bald cap that he's wearing, and you realize that it's just, like a rubber brain on top of his head, and then, like, the thing on top of it. It's not, like, his actual brain. As he kind of, yeah, straightens it out and kind of, like, taps it so it kind of, like, starts sparking up again.
You have defeated me, valiant hero. And now I will retreat. Congratulations. The park is saved.
And he, like, hits a button on his wrist computer.
Don't worry. My capsation releasers will now self-destruct. The park is safe now.
And then as he, like, throws his arms up and the drones, like, light up all around him. And then
the light just flies, like, straight up.
Oh, yeah. What's KT doing?
Charging the spirit bomb.
Yeah, the light flies off into the spirit bomb. And, like, dozens of little explosions all around the park, like, underground go off and, like, blast, like, chunks of dirt and grass up into the air. Just as he's like, the park is saved! So, yeah, what are you doing, KT? You now have the world's largest spirit bomb. And Lilith looked like she was going to go and do the human thing where they make noises through their throat holes at each other. But the villain just threw up his arms and the park started exploding.
The park is exploding. Let's see.
Just like a little bit, though.
He's admitted defeat, and I think it's probably safe to let all that light disperse at this point then.
Cool.
KT shall bend light and heat and float off into the distance.
My work here is done. What does Ryan do?
I think they're just trying to put the building back together. And, like, I guess trying to use their brambles and stuff to, like, fill the gaps that were broken, and not really thinking about the fact that, like, plant matter is probably not, like, the best.
I mean, it'll hold it up until, you know, the professionals can fix it for
Yeah.
They'll do the job until then.
So yeah, I think they've been doing that and are, like, slowly, like, backing away from it in case it starts to fall again. Like little, like, daisies and stuff, like, sprouting from all the cracks and stuff.
Awesome. And you kind of smile at your handiwork, and as you kind of turn back around to survey the scene up at the top of the hill, you see Rose holding Tolstoy and Marsha P. Johnson, and just, like a look of kind of surprise and shock on her face.
Kara was saying, I don't know if this is canon yet, but Rose is probably not very impressed by superheroes.
But that was kind of my thinking. But
Yeah, no, I really like that. Rose is standing there holding the two cats with this kind of, like, a one eyebrow kind of raised incredulously.
Yeah, I think Ryan blushes and waves and trips over one of the brambles that she's, like, been using to put the building back together, but accidentally, like, because they kind of, like, separated from her so that she could leave them there, but, like, she doesn't know that they're there anymore, and she trips over one and then, like, rides herself and tries to look back up and look cool.
What would Rose do, Kara?
I mean, Rose doesn't know this is Ryan.
I guess that's...
Doesn't know what is Ryan?
You don't have a costume on, do you?
Yeah, I don't have a costume on or anything.
Oh.
I forgot it today.
I think Rose is just going to kind of, like, keep holding on to the cats and maybe just go back to, like, her booth. Kind of, like, give you, like, an okay look and then go back to her booth.
Makes sense. Just put a building back together, no big deal. Is Shadow somewhere? Or, I mean, KT's gone, obviously. But is Shadow hanging around somewhere?
Kind of forgot about the building.
KT was like, and I'm done.
My work here is done.
So is Shadow somewhere nearby? Or?
Has his evil eminence, has he left? I guess I had him in an enclosure.
Unless you had anything else to say to him, I assume that you, like, giving him Joe's contact information could be, you know.
Yeah.
Implied off screen.
Yeah, so I think if he's gone, Lilith has all this glass that, like, a lot of times when she breaks windows or whatever to get glass, she tries and fix the windows after, but this building is, like, beyond, like, there's no point in fixing the windows.
A little past that, yeah.
Building that's probably going to be demoed tomorrow. So I think she is kind of, like, studying all this glass. Like, I see it's been in pieces. I think she's kind of pulling all the pieces together and sort of studying them. and kind of has her head cocked to the side as she is like reforming this glass into a public art piece. I have not decided what the public art piece is yet, and I'm taking suggestions, but if Ryan wants to wander over and say or do something, well,
yep. I don't think Ryan even notices that you're building anything out of glass. I think she like comes over and like has her head in her hands and then like dramatically like sits down on the ground and is like, I think Rose knows I'm a hero now, but I don't think that's a good thing for some reason.
Why wouldn't it be a good thing? You like normally don't super care if people find out, you know?
Yeah, but like people usually think it's kind of cool, but she just kind of like left. So maybe she doesn't think it's cool to be like a super freak with a bramble fist, you know?
Lilith is going to kind of look over her shoulder and say, Ryan, you are a super freak with a bramble fist. And if that's going to be a deal breaker for Rose, then she was never going to be for you anyway. But you can also look at it as like, to me, the fact that you have superpowers is like the least interesting thing about you. Like if someone was going to date you, I don't think it would be for the superpowers. I think it would be because you're a good listener and because you have a big heart and because you take care of other people and like you're a lot of fun to be around and like all of those sort of things, right? And like if Rose doesn't care about you being a superhero, it just kind of means maybe she's not going to let that overshadow like all the other things about you that she might like more, that are more worth liking about you, you know?
Lilith, go ahead and roll the comfort and support.
Oh, my mundane is -2.
You do have influence over me, so.
You have influence?
And I have angry. I'm taking a -3 to this roll.
But a +1?
No. Yeah, that's why it's -3 and not -4.
Oh, okay.
All right, we rolled. The dice knew that that was a good pep talk, and I got -6. So -3, that's still a 9.
Yay!
Nice. Heck yeah. So on.
But I was gonna say sorry. So I have the Bull's Heart move, friend, and is currently my love. So when my love or rival comforts or supports me, I mark potential when they roll a hit.
So you get potential for that, and then you also get to mark another potential, clear a condition, or shift labels if you open up.
Yeah, I think Ryan's got like, real big eyes that are like tearing up. And she's like, yeah, she's just like, she thinks that that was pretty cool because he kind of does think that the coolest thing about him is that he has plant powers. It was like nice to hear that that isn't the case. So yeah, I think I will clear my last condition of guilty and just look up in.
Yeah, and I think maybe as Ryan looks up, we kind of pan back and we can see this sculpture that Lilith has been working on. And it is this pair of like non-gendered looking people, like just very outline type people that are standing next to each other and holding hands. And if you look closely, you can see that they're made out of all these tiny like glass hearts. Adding a little public art to the park.
Cute.
So yeah, on our last page, we have this beautiful panel of our two friends sitting beneath this beautiful new art sculpture.
Wonderworld Comics is an actual play podcast of Masks, A New Generation by Brendan Conway. Graviton, Gustav, and Penny Dreadful are played by Sawyer A. Kalea is played by Des Cobbs. Shrike and the Electric Kid are played by Michael Dunham. Moonflower and Shatter are played by Kyra Nelson. And Mighty Briar is played by Kaylee Newberry. The music for this episode is by P. Richmond. This season is produced by Kyra Nelson. You can find us on Twitter and Blue Sky with the handle WWC Comics Podcast.